Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of What Arsenal Means to Me. You know, I thought I was going to just do something different during the World Cup, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the shows, and the guests have been brilliant. Tonight's guest is actually a friend of mine as well, which is lovely. In the Arsenal world. So I'd like to welcome to the pod, Tom Canton from the Gooner Talk TV.
Thank you. How are you doing? You all right?
Yes, all good. This is weird because normally we're in the pub talking. So now everyone's going to see how we talk or on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
When we've had our little bit of heated debates, I'd like to say. But
yeah, it's usually
friendly.
When I'm right about something and you're wrong about something. Isn't that how it works? But...
Yeah. We'll get on to Arteta later, shall we?
Sure,
that'll be interesting. So everybody in the chat room. So as you know, for people that have been watching these shows, I'll ask Tom a question. He'll answer. You can answer. I'm going to put all the comments up and that's how we'll go. If you want to ask anything for Tom, please wait for the questions to end because, you know me, I have to be like organised with how I'm doing it. And please press like and subscribe because I never say that at the beginning of the show. So first up, Tom. Well, first of all, I want to introduce you. So you're the owner, the host, everything of the Gooner Talk TV. But when I knew you, you were as a teacher. Now you left teaching and now you're a journalist, is it?
Yeah. So obviously Craig, who you do Same Old Arsenal with, started the Gooner Talk way back in like 2015. And then in 2016, I took it over from him when he wanted to move on to other stuff. And I was a teacher then. I was a teacher up until 2020. 2020, because I left in the midst of the pandemic, which was kind of crazy, in October of 2020. So, yeah, it's been a crazy journey, but I quit my job because I kind of was miserable doing it. Not that I didn't enjoy being in the classroom or anything like that. It's kind of the politics. I wanted to make my life more revolve around Arsenal. And now I went from that to writing about loads of football at one website to then writing just about Arsenal at Football London. So, yeah, that's where I am now.
So for the people that don't know Tom, and there seems to be quite a few people in this chat room that do know Tom, Tom's one of these people that when you talk about Arsenal and you have disagreements and you don't agree, it's brilliant because you're not, I don't even know how to put the words. You're not delusional in the way you talk. You can have a conversation with you and 9 times out of 10, we might not agree, but it doesn't matter. It's quite an intelligent conversation, I think the word is, where I don't walk away thinking, oh my God, he's driven me mad. I think that's really interesting. It's a really interesting thought. I just like to, I have no issue with people disagreeing with me. I really don't. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But what I don't like is when it turns to sarcasm and
I can't say I've never been sarcastic, but because I definitely have been. But I think it's more about you know, it's what well, A, about not losing your cool and you're having a debate with someone, not using abusive or disrespectful language when you, you know, have a different point of view to someone else, and also having an open mind that if, you know, the person you're talking to has a good argument or asks you a question that puts you into a position where you think, you know, actually, yeah, you've made a fair point there, to be open to changing your mind. I think that's how you should approach it. And I know that, you know, everyone has their pride about their point of views and stuff like that, but it is okay to change your mind about things. You know, you can
do that. Is. And I don't think it's a pride thing with me, because when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I just hold my hand up. I am a little bit different. It is. It really is a problem. And it's weird, because it's like, it doesn't make you any less of a person if you go, actually, I've got that wrong. I remember slating Monreal for ages. And then he turned the corner and he was brilliant. So I had to hold my hands up and go, do you know what? I got that wrong. He's actually a really good player. But anyway, Carl wants to know, what subject do you teach? Before we get onto the questions, what subjects?
I did teach geography. That was my subject. That's what my degree was in. It can be boring. It can be interesting. I was kind of like the physical tornado earthquakey stuff rather than the tourism and globalization stuff. But yeah, that was what it was. It's a divisive topic. So yeah, it was good.
Well, apparently, Lynn Simpson, and I shouldn't be doing this because I'm going to get onto my questions. Yeah. Tom made a fair point earlier today, which was honest but diplomatic. And I think that's what I meant. You're honest, you're diplomatic, you don't get yourself really wound up. You don't have to be right. You know, there is no right or wrong, obviously. But what was the point about? Do you know what she's talking about?
I covered the Bukayo Saka racism incident in a lot of detail this morning. And, you know, talked about how, you know, kind of the whole situation around that, and making sure that we need to talk about it, report it, and, you know, stand up to it and be more courageous, I suppose, and brave in facing stuff like that. And that's kind of how I tackled it. Yeah.
Well, I was going to get on to the World Cup just before we started the questions. And, you know, I would like to say that I do find it strange that I'm cheering Harry Kane. I do understand people that can't do it, but he was playing for England. And that's the end of it. I would cheer any player that played for England. And when his first penalty went in, I went mental, because I want England to win. And when his second penalty, you know, I think Lloris got the better of him with the eye contact and I think he just, and the pressure on Harry Kane. And I have to be open here on an Arsenal podcast and say, I actually feel for him today. Now, going back to what happened to Saka, we know it's about racism. I don't care what anyone says, Tom. We know that. And we know that Harry won't get that, which is great. Well, he shouldn't get any abuse. No one should get abuse whatsoever. And I hope he is okay, because that can affect you. You know, he's effectively, we're out of the semi-final because he didn't put that penalty away. We would have had to go to extra time, but I thought we were the better team. I thought France were lucky. I thought the referee, Tom, I mean, I don't normally talk about referees. I felt like he actually was playing for France. I don't understand VAR either, because surely they would have seen the foul on Saka, which was a complete foul. I don't even think you can debate that. No one argued about that foul.
I've seen people debate it to me, but it's
really
mad still.
Madness.
Yeah.
And I do feel that I felt England put on a good performance last night. And what's fantastic, you got Jude Bellingham, which is extraordinary player, wonderful player. You got Saka, who has just been phenomenal as well. And you just think the future's bright. It absolutely is. But then I saw Darren Bent tweet something this morning about Saka getting abused today.
Yeah.
For what? He's been absolutely magnificent, and that isn't because I'm an Arsenal fan. What is this all about?
I'll tell you why he's got abuse. It's because he's black. That is the reason why he's got abuse. And unfortunately, that is, for a lot of people, just enough to be hateful. And that's why I talk about it on the show, because it's something that needs to be addressed and needs to be talked about. I talked about the fact on the show that, you know, as a white guy, you know, it's arguably, you know, it's going to be, you know, a white person that stands up and says, you know, that this is a problem, because, you know, if you're not white, you're already talking about it. You're already calling it, but not enough of the people that aren't facing this racism are talking about it. So, you know, I'm trying to talk about it as much as I can.
And I mean, when I said, what's that all about? I know what it's all about. What I meant was, why would he be criticised?
Yeah, of course. I know what you meant. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, he has been magnificent. If he hadn't, I'd call him out for being terrible. I would say Sack has not been at the races. But he was absolutely brilliant in most games. It just really was. And, you know, and again, here we are talking about Saka, but yet Kane missed the penalty. And this we knew was going to happen. And you know what was really interesting last night? My timeline is very mixed of Tottenham, West Ham, United, City. I've got all lots of different people that I follow and follow me. And what I found really interesting was the amount of people that said, how comes they're fouling Saka? How comes they're going for Saka? Welcome to the world of being an Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
He is constantly being chopped down. And I don't know, the referee, Tom. I've lost for words.
Yeah, I don't think there are words really. And I'm over. I think because I place Arsenal above England, you know, I'm an England fan because I'm English, but I place Arsenal on a higher plane. I was over it by the time I woke up this morning. I was just like, look, it is what it is. Yeah. Can't change it. I wrote a piece today about how, you know, Saka gets bullied in the Premier League, doesn't get the protection, gets bullied now at the World Cup, doesn't get the protection. And when we go into the Europa League in March, it's probably unlikely that he's going to get the protection there either. So we've just got to find our way of playing our game and not allowing the referees to have a say in it, even though they most likely will. But we've got to try and take it out of their hands as well.
No, absolutely. Okay, well, look, we're out of the World Cup. It's now down to Morocco, Argentina, France and Croatia. Interesting. We'll talk about that at the end. Who's going to win? Let's get on to it. So what Arsenal means to me is about what Arsenal means to you, Tom. So I want to know why, how and when did you become an Arsenal fan?
It came really from family. And my dad's dad passed away before I was born, and my nan basically told me that he was a bit of an Arsenal fan. That was kind of who he followed. My dad is a Gillingham fan. That's kind of around where we live, which is only a stone's throw from London anyway. But his dad followed Arsenal. But our family never had enough money to ever, like, you know, go up and watch Arsenal in London. So they would go and watch Gillingham because it was like the local side and that. So my dad took me to watch Gillingham when I was a youngster. Like, you know, we're talking single digits. And Arsenal became a thing because of the story my nan told me. And, you know, gradually getting like my first shirt, which was a Thierry Henry. It was the away shirt from the season in which we got to the Champions League final, in which he scored in the Bernabeu, that yellow away kit. That was the first Arsenal kit I ever got bought. And I remember that Arsenal, when you used to buy a shirt from Arsenal, the numbers used to be, and the naming used to be made of felt. Do you remember that? Like, it was like a felt, like, numbering. So yeah, that was the first shirt I had, and it comes through family as to why, I'm an Arsenal fan.
So I'm going to ask for your first game memory. Mm. You're the youngest guest I've had on at the moment. Mm. So
you get some different answers.
I'm looking forward to it. So what was your first one?
My first memory is the 2005 FA Cup final, which is going to make a lot of listeners feel very old. And I understand that. But that's the game I was 11, which people might think is quite late, you know, to have a memory. But A, I have a terrible memory for starters. It's awful. And secondly, you know, because I was going to so many, you know, local games when I was a youngster, Arsenal was kind of missed, you know, because I was always at a 3 o'clock kickoff, you know, typically. And we didn't have Sky Sports. As I said, we weren't, you know, the most well off at when I was younger. And so the only way I got to watch Arsenal was on Match of the Day. So and obviously when the FA Cup final and that was on. So the first one I really remember was the 2005 one. And the vivid moment I remember was when Bergkamp headed the ball onto our own crossbar to clear it. And in that moment, just thinking, I don't think it matters how much Man United dominate us this game, that they're not going to score. Like, when Bergkamp does that, you know that you're going to get over the line. And we did. So yeah, that was that's the most vivid, earliest memory I have. So there you go.
I feel like I'm about 50 years older than you. Oh, my life. So, okay, so that you were 11. So have you ever gone back and watched the games or know about the 70s and
the 80s? Yeah, of course. I feel it's a duty
George
to do
Graham.
That. Yeah,
and I agree, because I was watching the 70s football back because I started mid to late 70s, I suppose, properly. Yeah. And I remember people like Alan Sunderland and Man United beating us beating Man United 3-2 in the cup final in 79. And I wasn't there. I was watching at home, my little flag, like you. I was only 10. But it's so interesting, isn't it? Because I had Melvin on the show the other night. It was back to the 60s and half the people I didn't even know he was talking about.
But it's a duty, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's not my favourite midfielder, but who I appreciate to be the most technically gifted midfielder we've ever had is Liam Brady. Because you look at the pictures that he played, you look at the pitches he played on in the 70s and what he was able to do with the football in that time period is frankly a joke. Like, he was just playing on a different level to everybody else. And we weren't the most successful team, you know, in the 70s, but... you know, he could have easily played in any of our greatest 11s. So, it's a duty. And obviously, I've gone back and watched 89 and obviously the double winning seasons and things like that. It's important to go back and watch because you need to educate yourself on the club you support.
See, look, John Rowe, welcome to the pod. Sorry, John. First game, Jack Kelsey, who I've heard of, testimonial in 63, I was 8. Yeah. So, my dad's even older than you, John, and he'll be on next week, the week after next, and he goes back to like the 50s. And honestly, it's fascinating of all the decades. And now, so really, so let's talk about the next one. Favorite ever home game and away game. So I know you go home and away, don't you?
Yeah, well, for my work now, I go to a lot more away games.
Yeah.
Because obviously I've been to plenty of home games now as a fan, and now I'm going to games for work. So it's an interesting dynamic. But my favourite home game used to be the 4-1 win over Liverpool in the 2017 season when Bellerin, Ozil, Alexis and Giroud all scored. And I think Henderson got a penalty that Sterling won. But that used to be my favourite home game because it was just when I was there, the atmosphere. And I remember hugging so many strangers when Olivier put in that fourth goal. But actually, it's been overtaken this season again by the Liverpool game, the 3-2 win this season. The reason why it's my favourite game at home is, and I wasn't there either for that one, but the reason why it is my favourite game is because it signified for me the moment when Arsenal took that first step to being back amongst the elite clubs. Like, in my lifetime, you think my first game I have the true, real memory of, I remember like glimpses of games before 2005 FA Cup final, but that was the last real moment of dominance because we lost the Champions League final the year after. And so obviously winning that FA Cup final was the last real moment of dominance in that golden era. And since that point, you know, we had to wait till 2013 to get that next FA Cup and whatever. But that Liverpool game at home signified to me that step back into the direction of being an elite club again. And so that's why it's my favourite home game, because of what it meant and the statement that it was in winning that game. So, that's a really important game for me, that one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I suppose this is a mute point, but your favourite first manager, I'm assuming.
It is Mikel Arteta.
It's
Mikel Arteta because Arsene Wenger, as I said, my first memory, you know, real memory, as I say, was the 2005 FA Cup final. And Arsene Wenger's, the main years that I had of Arsene Wenger were during the years of financial austerity and ultimately the decline from, you know, really 2010, 2011, I suppose, through to 2017 when he left. And I hated Unai Emery. I really couldn't stand our football under Unai Emery. And because Arteta, who is someone that I have been up and down with and had a roller coaster of a ride with, but who I really backed right at the start of his tenure. And it was only that Villarreal game that really kind of tipped it over for me a bit into, I'm not sure if we're going the right direction, but I love the fact that he stuck to his principles and that we're seeing the success off the back of it. Mm. You know, I wasn't around for George, you know, obviously wasn't around for Herbert Chapman, of course, for the managers that we've had over history, my favourite manager is Arteta because just of everything he kind of stands for at the moment. And I know that people are saying, come on, Tom, even Wenger from 06 to 18 tops everything under Arteta. I'm not saying he's the most successful Arsenal manager. I've been asked the question, who's my favourite?
Exactly, yes. You know, and you're entitled to say, but I'm shocked. I thought you were going to say Wenger.
You know,
obviously you and I have argued about Arteta over the years and you've honestly constantly said to me, why? I don't rate him. I don't think he should be there. I mean, obviously you've changed your minds and I know that. But honestly, I'm sitting here going, Arteta, I thought you were going to say Wenger.
No, I don't really like Wenger from where he's gone now at FIFA.
Yeah, I
don't like some of his comments that he's made recently. And it's really affected my viewpoint of him. I can appreciate what he did at Arsenal separately. But that's really affected my viewpoint. But Arteta remains... I've not had many managers, you know, so it's not loads I've got to choose from. But yeah, Arteta right now is, I'd say, is my favourite coach. That might change in the future. It might even, you know, if Wenger turned around and changed, you know, and said some things, it can change. That's the point, is I think favourites are up to change. So at the moment, yeah. And, as you know, I get the people saying in the chat box, come on, like Wenger, what are you achieving that? It's not about that for me when you're asking me about a favourite. No. You know, it's about who you attach with. And I attach more with Arteta, personally.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I mean, me, it's George Graham. Mm. And then the first 10 years of Wenger and obviously Arteta. Mm. But that could change, as you say, in the next 5 years. We don't know. Yeah.
And I've met Arteta as well, so that kind of, you know, helps.
Have you?
Well, I mean, obviously in the press conferences and stuff like that. So that's, yeah. When you are in a room with him, like the presence, like I know people talk about the presence of Wenger, but it's amazing how such a young coach can come in and command a room. Like it's quite, yeah, it's really tense feeling when he steps through those doors and you've got to think up a question pretty quick to ask. So, yeah.
Very nice. He said, fair enough, Tom. I think he didn't really sort of hear the question. It's just fun. Your favourite manager. It's not for winning or anything. Mm. It's really interesting. I honestly think that the Amazon documentary on Us All or Nothing has changed so many people's
view. He hates that, by the way. He hasn't watched it. He's not.
I thought he came across so well in it.
Yeah, he did, really, but he's not. That's not what he's about. He doesn't look back. He doesn't look back at things. He just looks forward. Yeah.
Mm, fair enough. Love it. He's so dedicated. I love it. Mm. Right. Okay. So your favourite ever player to play for Arsenal and your non-Arsenal player?
So my favourite ever player, I'll start with a non because we can finish on Arsenal. So my favourite non-Arsenal player is a player called Jonathan Soriano, who a lot of people might not know of. But he's a Spanish player and he played for Red Bull Salzburg. It was the main kind of part of his career. And the reason why he's one of my favourite players, and I'll get the actual specific number of goals he scored up with, but he was up there. And if it wasn't, because you know how the golden boot works in Europe, like when you score the most goals. Well, if you play in a league that's like not considered like in Liga or La Liga, and you know, you don't get as much weighting in terms of the goals that you score. Jonathan Soriano scored 120 goals in 144 games for Red Bull Salzburg.
Wow.
And was regularly up there as one of the highest goal scorers in specific seasons for them. He scored 48 goals in 43 games in the 2013-14 season, 46 goals in 49 games in the 2014-15 season, and 32 goals in 34 games in the 2015-16 season. And had the Austrian league been like kind of considered alongside the others, he would have been up there with Ronaldo and Messi in terms of goal scoring. So, and he's not talked about at all. Like, because
why doesn't anyone come in for him then?
He's old now. He's basically, he's 37 now.
He was doing that, Tom, though, when he was putting the ball,
I guess,
in the back
because
of the net,
they just looked at the Austrian league then and thought, well, you know, but I'm sorry, Erling Haaland's come from Red Bull Salzburg, you know, after his year, and you look what he's done. Maybe if someone had taken a chance on him, he would have done something somewhere else. Eventually, he did move back to Spain because he came through at Barcelona's academy. and play for Barca B and play for Barcelona, and he didn't play for the senior side, but play for Barca B under Luis Enrique, actually. So he's non-favorite Arsenal player. I've got him on the back of a Salzburg shirt. Yeah, he's a cult hero of mine for sure. Favorite Arsenal player ever is Santi Cazorla. I love that guy. You can't say a bad word about Santi Cazorla.
No, no one can.
He's just the nicest, funniest, funnest player to watch. His assists, his technical wizardry, some of the goals he scored from range, the free kick and the FA Cup final against Hull. You know, I love Santi Cazorla.
Have you ever met him?
Unfortunately not. No, I haven't.
I have.
Lucky you. I would love to.
It's a funny story, Tom. I tell you, I was invited to a little Arsenal event in Westfield, Stratford. And I didn't know where I was going. And I was looking at this restaurant. I was there. And I said to the guy, gave him my name. And he said, your name's not down. I said, maybe I'm under this certain thing. Mm. And this bloke standing next to me said, just let her in. I said, thank you. I went like that. I went, Santi. I was just like this. That moment, I've got a picture.
Did he go, Amanda?
No. He's very little and I'm not short. And I was like, I'm standing in Westfield Stratford with Santi Cazorla and I don't know what to do because it looks like I'm really not invited to this event. Obviously, I got in, and I stood there and I remember going, can I have a picture? And his minder came up to sort of push me away. He went, yeah. So we had this lovely little selfie done. So I met, he was so lovely. But I sort of went into shock, Tom, because if I'd have seen him, I'd have planned what I was going to say.
Yeah, of course.
He was just standing next to me. I went, Santi, like that. Yeah, it was so funny.
When players are like, I had it the other Cody Gakpo plays for PSV. You know, I was in the mix zone after the game and he came around the corner and I was like, I've got to try and get a question. In that moment where he's about to walk on the PSV bus, I was like, they quickly put a question up. But it's really tough, you know, in those moments when you're like, when a player's kind of like just there.
I'm not you, am I? So I'm not like media trained.
even I'm struggling to come up with a question like 30, split second.
I just went, Santi, hello, you okay? I was mental.
You okay?
I knew him because I went, Santi, you know, like, you're my friend. But you do feel like you know them all.
Yeah, you do.
If you ever see them out. I remember seeing Ian Wright. And obviously, I've met him quite a few times. I went, all right, Ian, like, I know him, you know. But anyway, right, Santi, for you. I can see people asking questions, but please save them to the end, and I will ask Tom. Mm. But tell us
who
your favourite player is.
You can star them in the chat, you know, on StreamYard.
Huh?
If you know where the questions are, there's a little star in the top right-hand corner.
If you click that,
it saves them in the right top right-hand corner of your screen for you. There you go. You see, you learn something new.
Every day's a school day. I love to learn something.
I'm still teaching. That's how it works.
You'll never give up that.
Never give up.
Okay, worst player to ever play for us. Your worst Arsenal player.
Who did I write down? I wrote down Jovinho is who I wrote down. You know, there are players that are worse than him. Nelson Vivas, you know, comes to mind. And even Skodran Mustafi comes to mind. But I think he did some okay things, in fairness. But Jovinho goes down as my least favourite player because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have that embarrassing defeat to Bradford on our record. And I just remember that miss against Bradford and just think, like, goodness me. Like, and he really genuinely, I did not appreciate Jovinho at all. I thought he was awesome. Yeah.
What was the guy who came to us? His name's, you'll know him. Who was the postman?
Oh, but see, when you say postman, I think of Fabio Capello. So...
No. No. Sonogo. Was it Sonogo?
Was he called the postman?
No, there was one before that. Oh, someone in the chat. I thought you were going to know, Tom, because now it's going to drive me mad. I can't remember who it is.
I don't know.
Okay. maybe it was Sonogo. I don't know. A lot of people saying Christopher Ray, Runnison. I go back to Senderos. I go back to sort of the 80s, and there was a player called John Devine. The problem was he was a really nice player, but he wasn't very good in defence, an Irish player that used to play for us. Mm. And I'm sure the older people in here, but I was very young at the time, sort of 12-ish, 13. We weren't very good early 80s, as you remember. Right, your favourite celebrity Arsenal fan?
You're not going to know who they are. I'm just going to put that out there for starters.
You don't know that. I might.
Okay. Do you know who Friction is?
Yes.
So Friction is a drum and bass producer. He runs or owns a company called Shogun Audio, which are one of the biggest drum and bass producers, and now runs a new label called Elevate as well. But he's one of the main key players in the world of drum and bass music. And he's a big Arsenal fan, and I've had him on my channel as well, and he's a lovely bloke. So yeah. It's Friction, yeah. People may or may not know if they're into drum and bass music.
I'm too old for stuff like that. I don't feel old, but
he's a lot older than me, to be fair. He's been around.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's been on the circuit.
What is he like, 35 or something?
I think he's in his 40s. Yeah.
Hold on, someone knows him. Is it DJ Friction?
DJ Friction, yeah.
Wayne knows him. Why don't I know him, Wayne? I don't know him. Okay, so what do you love and not love about Arsenal?
I love the fans when we win, and I hate some of them when we lose. And that's the way in which I kind of sum it up. You know, I think Arsenal can sometimes be the best fan base in the world and sometimes the worst. And that for me is it. You know, I love Arsenal when we're winning because everyone's so happy and everyone's, you know, singing off the same hymn sheet. The atmosphere this season in particular has been like nothing I've ever experienced in the Emirates. You know, in the Emirates in particular, it's something. Again, yeah, it's difficult to describe it any other way than it being unique and a first really this season. It's absolutely special. But when we lose, some fans, and I say some, and it's important to say some, just go too far and are abusive to our players and are abusive to the manager and are abusive online to other fans. And, you know, you look at what happens online. And yeah, so it was quite an easy question, actually, because, you know, the best and worst thing about Arsenal, I think, is its fan base. We have the best fans in the world when we're winning, but when we're losing, we highlight some of the really bad parts of our fan base, unfortunately. And yeah.
It's definitely changed. It's definitely got better. And the thing is, when we're losing, we are still ending up top. So people can't really go to town at the moment. Obviously, things will change. Could change. Hope they won't.
If we don't sign anyone in January, I expect there to be a significant meltdown.
Yeah. Oh, God. We do. And, you know, I don't normally discuss that because I hate anything like that.
Of course.
We do need to sign somebody in January. Bernadette, I love that. We're old but gold, Amanda. We are. We're old but gold. I love it. But you're right with the fans and stuff. Absolutely. It becomes, you just want to switch off social media. Because you know what? You come out of a game, you're entitled to moan and groan. We've done it 70s, 80s, 90s, and probably years before then. But it just goes too far, you know, and everyone tries to get one up on everybody. And, you know, I think, I don't mean to say, sound ageist here, Tom. I do think a bit of the older ones are not so much like that. We've been there, seen it, done it. We've had the 80s, the 70s, yeah. We've had it all. You know, when I started watching football, it wasn't great. And then when going to school in the 80s, it wasn't great. George Graham walks in and changes the whole thing. I've left school. The whole of my school life was all Tottenham fans and winning stuff. So anyway.
Well, there are some young fans now that have never seen us win a title, you know. So
yeah, and that's also really weird as well. And, you know, their favourite ever player is Emma Smith Rowe. And I'm like, I've not seen
or
any
of that.
Carry on, no, but that, I get.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, best game ever and best game this season, worst game ever and worst game this season. It's not very easy with the worst game this season because I've assuming it's just Man United.
Worst game this season was Man United. Yeah. I can add more clarity to that. It's the first game I ever got to go to sit in the press box. So it's the first game I've traveled to a game as a journalist. So in that sense, it was great. I drove up there on the day. Obviously, your big expectations, we've not lost the game all season. Yep. Obviously, we lost in the manner that we lost and should have won. And probably if we'd have had Partey, would have won. Probably if that goal had been given from Martinelli, we would have probably won that game as well. And then I had to drive home as well in the same day.
So
it was a very long way, long day, and a really poor result. Obviously, it was a really meaningful game in the sense it was my first game to report on live from the stadium. And obviously, Old Trafford is a special place in itself, especially for Arsenal. You think about winning the title there, of course. So, but yeah, that has to be the worst game for this season. Although I tell you what, being at the Leeds game, even though we won, was pretty darn horrible. That game was,
How long we were delayed challenge. For?
40 minutes was the delay. God. Yeah, so obviously it started, stopped. When we were sitting in the press area, the lights above it all flickered, just flickered out and came back on. We lost all of our Wi-Fi, so none of our laptops could like connect to anything. And everyone's looking around at each other and they're like, have you got what? Is yours working? Yeah. No, you know, so that was a bit of a weird one. But obviously, you know, it ended up being a good day from a journalism standpoint because so many people were kind of looking into why is the game stopped? And obviously, we're the only ones there really knowing. And we were obviously the leads, people coming around and telling the press box what was going on, which I was like, you know, you should be really putting that out to the whole stadium, you know, and telling the fans, because we were getting told that they're rebooting stuff. And I'm like, tell the fans, you know, tell the people, because people are getting really, and we were amongst the Leeds fans there, and they're getting so agitated. And I was like, if you just give some clarity to the supporters, you know, tell them we're rebooting the system, you know, it will come back online. It's going to take this amount of time, we expect. Stay calm. We apologize. Don't turn around and say we're working on it and we'll be there. We'll give you an update. It's sometimes where you're frustrated that there's a bit of clarity, I think, could help. But yeah, maybe there's reasons why there wasn't. But, you know, I think we appreciate that.
No, I know. A lot of people a few people are saying it's Southampton as well. I mean, that wasn't great the first half.
I was there for that as well. it weren't great. Awful rain on the way down to Southampton as well. It was terrible.
And also, you live to Manchester, my God, is hours and hours.
Yeah,
and
when you've got to drive home. Yeah, I'm down near South Coast. So, yeah. Five there, five back. Long day.
I went to the Etihad last year. That was a journey in itself. But anyway. Okay, what was your favourite game this season so far?
Favourite game, again, obviously my favourite game of all time at home is that Liverpool win. So it is that. If I didn't pick that, obviously it would be the North London Derby win for obvious reasons. But I love the Chelsea game as well. The Chelsea game this season was great because it genuinely felt like a shift. Yeah. It felt like, you know, we've gone to Chelsea and won there three times in a row now. But the two times previous to this, we were the underdogs and we were the team that had to kind of hit on the brake and hope for the best when we got up. But this time, we dominated that game. Chelsea didn't have a sniff. And that was a real presence and a statement win again. So, yeah, if it's not Liverpool, it would be that Chelsea game, yeah.
Okay, and who do you think's one of our unsung heroes over the years? It could be now or years ago.
It's now, and it's Ben White. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is for some people, but Ben White gets so much stick. He doesn't like football, is what he said. And I think when he did that interview where he said he's not the biggest fan of, like, he doesn't go out and watch it. I think it's not the worst thing he could have done because he was honest, and I appreciate somebody's honesty always. Like, if you play football 24/7, you go to training all day long, you know, that might not be what you want to, like, that might want to be what you want to do when you get home. You might want to play FIFA, or you might not want to go and watch other games. I get that. Some people, that's tough to get over because they think it's your life. You know, you should be absolutely as engaged and absorbed in football as we all are. But, you know, if you're good at something, as Ben White is very good at football, it doesn't mean that you have to immerse yourself 100% of your life into something. It's good to have a break for your own, you know, sanity sometimes to take yourself away. So I appreciated his honesty in that interview, but I think it has meant that he's kind of got this reputation. I also think that obviously when we signed him, we sent Saliba out on loan and a lot of people wanted to see Saliba stay last season. And obviously, Ben White was always then going to get compared. And if he ever made a mistake like he did against Brentford in the first game, people were going to turn around and say, we should have kept Saliba. Why have we wasted 50 million on this guy? But he has been at both centre-back and at right-back this season. Brilliant. And
he's really grown into the right-back position, hasn't he? Mm. I love him.
I would call him a right-back now. That's how good he's been there, is that I'd call him a right-back. But I think he's good enough to play both roles. I think he'll play centre-back when we go and play West Ham on Boxing Day, because I don't think that... I don't think that Saliba will be back. So I think Ben White will go in at right centre-back, and I think Tomiyasu will come in at right-back. So that's what I think will happen. But he's been so important and, again, so underrated by still a large portion of the fan base, I think.
Yeah. Good shout, actually. I never really thought Ben Wright. What Miss Molina said. Hi, Miss Molina. Glad to see you. Still getting better. Gilberto, one of the most unsung players in that Invincibles team. Is true. Gilberto's always the one for me.
Yeah. I've got the back of a shirt. I love the Gilberto. It's great.
He's fantastic. Yeah. But you know what, Tom? I didn't realise how good he was and how much we needed him until he went.
Yeah.
I really never took much notice of him when he was here.
You don't never know what you've got till it's gone.
No, exactly. Okay, so as you do go home and away and you're in amongst it, what's your favourite chant?
See, I struggled with this.
Oh.
I struggled with this a lot because it used to be the Tottenham song. What do you think of Tottenham? But
Really?
Then obviously. Yeah, but unfortunately, because of the end of that song that some fans still sing, that's really kind of sullied that for me, and it's kind of pulled away. I used to really like the Lacazette chant, but he's our number nine, you know, that one I used to love that Lacazette song, but then he was pretty awful at the end of his time with us, so that kind of sullied as well. The North London Forever is something that really divides fans still. Some fans
Does find it?
It really some fans find it really cheesy. Oh, some fans find it really forced. And whenever I watch Anfield, because I still have not had the pleasure of going, I know you have for obvious reasons, I am so envious of when some clubs have their chant and their song. Yeah. And whilst it's taken a long time, and we're sitting in 2021, 22 now, and North London Forever is still something that's kind of, you know, building. I love that togetherness of the crowd before the game. When you're at the Emirates and it comes on before, there is a bit of the goosebumps about it. The North London Derby was great for it. So I think I do lean towards that being my current one, because I think it does show the unity of the fan base in the Emirates, that song. So, yeah. I'd say North London Forever right now is my favourite. If you want to call it a chant, it's more of a song, I guess.
It's more of a song. See, yeah. I absolutely love North London Forever. Mm. And I'm like you, whenever you watch Liverpool or United or even Tottenham, they've got their tunes. But I still said, and we had I had Stuart, the photographer, come on. I said, bloody tell them to play it when it's just gone a bit quieter, because I can't ever hear the first bit. And that's the bit I love. Yeah, I really didn't understand the full spit on it. We haven't got anything, nothing. And but I love it, and I love him. And he's a massive Arsenal fan, Louis Dunford, and his whole family are. And he lives in Islington. What more do you want? Love the song.
If that's a song and you want to chant, it's got to be do 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 do.
Saliba.
It's got to be that. Like, you know, that's brilliant.
So, I love the Vieira song. I've always loved the Vieira song, but it's just brilliant. All right, so we've done the chance and all of that. So we're coming up to the goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, your favourite four and your forward.
I have gone for goalkeeper, and this is going to be a funny one. Wojciech Szczesny is my favourite goalkeeper. Again, he's not our best goalkeeper ever. This is about favourites. I really like Wojciech Szczesny. One of the best things I like about him is just kind of how caution to the wind kind of is on and off the field. The whole video, you know, the iconic video of It's Happened Again, you know, I just love that's brilliant. I love his technique of trying to save penalties and dramatically fail for us but do quite well at the World Cup, where he kind of goes like both ways and then dives. That's great, you know. I really like Wojciech Szczesny, so yeah, he's probably been my favorite keeper. But Ramsdale is very quickly becoming a favorite. He's one of the few I've had the pleasure of speaking to after the games, and he's hilarious off the field. Yeah, genuinely really funny. When they did the press for the All or Nothing series, we went up to London Colney to speak to Ramsdale and Xhaka, and Ramsdale's so funny. So yeah, he's quickly becoming a favourite, that's for sure. But Szczesny is goalkeeper. Defender, again, really recent, and I mean recent, is William Saliba.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am in love with him. He is and has all the potential to be, and I used this term on I think it was my show, and I don't take it lightly, but I mean an equivalent centre-back to the quality of Lionel Messi as a forward and Cristiano Ronaldo as a forward. I think he can be an equivalent of that good as a centre-back. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic. I don't think I'm exaggerating things. I think he can be that good in terms of his own position contextually. So, yeah, I love the pace, the power, the composure, the confidence, the calmness, the technical ability when he takes players on, his passing. I love his goal against Bournemouth, you know, like all of these things. Like, Yeah, I'd really, really do like William Saliba. Yeah, and I had my doubts when he was coming in.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, because when I watched him at Marseille, he had his weaknesses, you know, especially aerially, and he was still raw. And there was a lot of fans that I think didn't necessarily want to take those into account. But he has well and truly won me over, as I think he has 99.9%, if not all, of Arsenal fans. Yeah. So that's that. Midfielder is Santi Cazorla, as I've already mentioned. And forward is Alexis Sanchez. So, yeah. I think I need to go into that because it's just Alexis Sanchez.
No, yeah. I you don't at all. He was outstanding for us. And what a player. I'm so gutted he left and went to United. And obviously it didn't work out for him anyway. But yeah. But it's so
that makes me mean I can like him still. Because it didn't work out at United. I feel like, you know, I've not got like that. You know, it's not like I used to love Van Persie before he left. You know,
so did I.
Because it went well at United. I can't like him because Alexis kind of failed at United. It means I can just kind of love him still.
Do you know what? It's not that it went well that I can't like him. It's how he left and what he said and how he behaved. I think there's a way to leave a club. There really, really is. But it's what I like is the fact that you are younger because all the answers have been more like, you know, Seaman, Adams. It's been those are mine as well. And it's nice to have a difference of someone's a bit younger. It's cool.
Favourite kind of, you know, because I think sometimes people think favourite means the best, you know, and to me, favourite's not. It's just the person you'd like the most, like, you know, and that's why I've picked the players I picked, yeah.
Okay, and interesting, I'm just going to ask this question because I mentioned this last night. Tom, would you have given a chance to Ramsdale in goal for England because he isn't so predictable as Pickford? That's from Thanks, Lynn.
He and White both were in my starting 11 for England at the start of the tournament. And I know that I'll come across as biased for obvious reasons, but I thought White has been the best English right back in the league this season. And I think that Ramsdale's been the best English goalkeeper. And I remember the game he had against Leeds, where he obviously didn't save the penalty, but Bamford missed his penalty. But beyond that, had such a good performance. And I asked him afterwards and I said to him, do you think that's the type of performance that's going to make Gareth Southgate turn around and think, you know, maybe this is the guy to Leon? He was like, no, it's one game, you know, and things don't change on one game. But maybe they should have, because I really would have rather have seen Ramsdale in between the sticks than Pickford, who I think had a decent tournament.
Yeah, he's all right.
But yeah, I would have rather Ramsdale given the shot.
Bernadette, I agree with you. I feel very old in this chat. But the thing is, I do have young people that watch this as well, and all different ages. You're all welcome. I don't care. I'm going to do a little quick fire round with you. And so everyone in the chat, get your questions in, and we're going to ask Tom because he's got to shoot off soon. So get some questions if you want. Quick fire for you. Oh, you don't know these ones, do you? I didn't send them to you. Right. Bergkamp or Henry?
Henry. While Perez or... playing.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people have said that. Perez or Overmars?
Perez.
Saka or Martinelli?
Martinelli.
Highbury or the Emirates?
I even though I've never been there, it's still for me Highbury, just from my research. Yeah.
Interestingly, a person asked me at the beginning of this chat, have you ever been to Highbury? And I'm glad I've mentioned it because I was going to ask you that. England to win the World Cup or Arsenal to win the Champions League? It's still relevant. Just
Arsenal to win the Champions League all day long.
It's really weird when I meet someone and I don't really meet someone that says their country over their club, really weirdly. But no, it's always club over country. Okay, this is the film. Fever Pitch or 89?
89.
I think that's your age.
Be my age.
Have you watched Fever Pitch?
Yeah. But not. I've watched Fever Pitch, but I've watched 89 like five times. Like, you know,
isn't the last part brilliant with the
The way they build up to the goal. Yeah. Glory.
Do you know, I remember watching it with my mum because I went to the premiere and I interviewed everybody. Oh, Tom, I wasn't
I remember the videos.
amazing. I got to interview David O'Leary and David Seaman and Tony Adams and Ian Wright. Oh, my God, what night. I'll never, ever, ever forget that. I literally went because I had a free ticket and I was just going to stand with Robbie. And then they gave me the mic and said, you're interviewing everyone. I said, no, I'm not. I don't interview anyone. I'm just standing here having a look on the red carpet. And my life, I didn't know what I was doing, but I had the best time ever. But I do think it's an 18. Anyway, Graham or Wenger?
Wenger.
Okay. I'm just going to ask this because, okay, so I had Jordan Jarrett Bryan on. He said Uruguay are going to win the World Cup. Stuart, who works for our club, said Brazil. Danny, the GFP, said Brazil. Yeah. Melvin said Brazil. And I've said all along that someone is going to win this that we're not expecting. And I still say it could be Morocco or Croatia. So now we're down to four, Tom. Who do you think?
I think it'll be France that win it. But I want it to be Argentina.
Because
I want Lionel Messi to win the World Cup.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I get that.
It's not that I want Argentina to win. It's that I'd like Lionel Messi to have that. Just to show that he is and have that accolade against, because he is for me the greatest. And I think he needs a World Cup. So, yeah, I'd love to see Morocco pick it. I think it'd be brilliant. It'd be amazing to see them pick it up. I don't really want to see Croatia win it. Because Luka Modric being a former Spurs player, being their talisman is something I have an issue with. Because just a tribal Arsenal thing. Seeing Lionel Messi pick up the it's Argentina. Yeah, it's Messi first and then Morocco and then France and then Croatia.
But who do you think's going to win it? Is it Argentina or France?
I think France will smash it, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I've got France in the sweepstake at work. So now I obviously
I've got Argentina.
Oh, have you? I think it could be that final. But again, it could be Morocco, Croatia. We just don't know what's going to happen. And yes, Carl Starr, France to win the World Cup. Amanda, you owe me an apology. I do. I was convinced when England went 2-0 up Saturday week ago, even before the end of the game, I thought we were going to beat France, get into the semi and get into the World Cup. I didn't say we're going to win the World Cup. I thought we'd get into the final. And we didn't. So I do apologise for being positive when a lot of people weren't. I just generally thought it was going to be one of those years because Brazil would got knocked out and, you know, you just, Portugal would got knocked out. Thought, it could be our year. Silly, really. All right, let's go back to, right, so I've got you down as France. Let's see.
It's easier for me. I'm going after the before the semi final.
Exactly. And it's going to be really easy for my guests. Well, when the semi is. So next Wednesday night, I've got Akil Vias and Tim Payton from the AST coming on. They're also good mates of mine as well. So they're going to be answering all the same sort of questions and going into what the AST does. I'm a member of it as well.
Nice.
And Tim has been to Qatar as well. So
has he?
He was out there. So not last night. I think he was back before then, but he'll be able to explain, you know, how it was out there. Then Friday night, I've got David Hillier coming on. So that'd be interesting to get it from a footballer's perspective, who his favourite player was and who his worst player was.
Himself.
No one's mentioned David yet, thankfully. And then the last podcast I'm doing before Christmas, my dad and my cousin are coming on. And this is why I go to football and who I still go to football with. So it's going to be interesting, but let's just go back to now. So we're 5 points clear, Tom. We're top of the tree. We're still going to be top of the tree, whether we beat West Ham or not, on Tuesday, 2 weeks. It's not long, is it now? No. So fantastic. We'll all be back at the Emirates. Oh, is it Monday we go? Oh, do you know what? I've got the days wrong. Yes, it's 2 weeks tomorrow.
It's
correct. Boxing night. We're back. See, it's gone quick. It's gone quick, people. Just got to make sure everyone's fit. And wish Jesus a quick recovery for sure. I'm going to ask you two questions now. Thoughts on Arteta and where do you think we'll finish? And then give you a couple of questions from a few people and I'll get you out. Your thoughts on Arteta?
My thoughts on Arteta are that he has done an astounding job, that he has come back from the brink, in my view, because the Villarreal defeat was kind of a snapping moment for me a bit, you know, and I really in that moment thought, I don't know where you go from here. I don't think that's an unreasonable position to have been in for fans, you know, to think that after that game. And then, of course, that then was followed by the awful start to last season and the 5-0 defeat at Man City. But what I've always said that throughout his entire kind of tenure has been that I've loved the off-field stuff. I'd love the recruitment. I'd love the way in which we've approached the squad building aspect of it. And the results, unfortunately, didn't always marry with how good they were off-field. And now they are. And that's what's so great about the alignment of the success on the field and what happened off the field. And maybe I was a little bit, hasty, I suppose, maybe, And I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that I have an open mind enough to have, you know, be able to change it. But yeah, I'm loving life as an Arsenal fan right now. And that is down to the work that Arteta has put in with a lot of other people and the players, of course. So, you know, yeah. I'm very, very happy with Arteta in charge right now.
Fantastic. And it's great because you've been one of the ones that were very up and down with him. And and it's so fantastic that you can see what he's trying to do. And obviously now this season, I mean...
I could always see it. You know, I just didn't think it was working at one stage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I just think, you know, I'm not saying you, and I would never put you in this category, because as I said at the very start of the show, you're not one of these people. But I do think there is quite a few people out there, especially podcasters, bloggers, whoever, do it for clicks and likes. Now, if I wanted to do stuff like that, I would have been wanting him out and all this stuff. You were genuine in what you were saying to me. You were like, I don't think this is going to work, and I don't think he's the right man for us, and you've got to convince me otherwise. And it was never for clicks or likes. And that's why I praised you at the beginning, Tom, and that's why I'd have you on the show. And I've always wanted you to come back or come on. But it's really interesting because someone has just put, great show. Love needs to be a regular joint podcast. Tom is welcome back anytime, but he's so busy. I have tried to get him on. He is so busy. Do you do your show every morning?
Yeah, 8 a.m. every day.
Every day. 8 a.m. Really... you can go and follow him.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, you can. No, I've really cut down as well elsewhere, like, because me and the missus, you know, we got married in August and we were, her job and my job, you know, we were looking at things and going, I'm going to have to really start cutting down my evenings because we just aren't getting time together, you know. So, yeah, I've really cut down stuff. And obviously with working for Arsenal, but working, you know, in the world of Arsenal, then the games in midweek and you lose a day at the weekend. Like I work today, you know, I was on 10-6 today. So, you know, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, one person who's not going to watch you is Newman, because he doesn't get out on catch up. 9:30. You can watch him on catch up, Newman. So this works well for you because this is late at night. Okay, where do you think we're going to finish?
Second.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking that.
I think he'll finish second. I obviously would beyond, you know, imaginingly happy to finish first, but I think it will be second.
Okay, I'm just going to a couple of questions, Tom, and then I'll get you out. Okay, and then you can go and sit with your lovely wife.
If she's Cole home, Starks... she's trying to get home in the snow at the moment, isn't
it? Oh, I know. I don't want to look outside. I've got to get to work in the morning. Carl Stark says, should we just be concentrating on the league this season?
I've said this actually on my channel. I said, if I offered the people, the listeners, I said to them, if I could say to you that we are in a title race up until the final game of the season, but you have to chuck the cup competitions, the first kind of next round, so the FA Cup third round, the Europa League knockouts, and we're out of the League Cup. So yeah, but you have to chuck them. But I can say to you that I guarantee you we will be in with a shot of the title this season. And I said I probably would. Yeah, I probably chuck them all to be in with a shot of the title this year, because you guarantee Champions League for qualification. You know, so to be in with a shot of winning the title, yeah, I'd sacrifice them to do it.
And would you, Carl Stark? You can answer that. Jason M says, do you think Arsenal can win the Europa?
Yeah, I think we can, yeah. I think it is dependent on getting reinforcements in January and obviously being lucky with injuries. But yeah, I think we can. I think we're probably, you know, we're probably the best team in there alongside Barcelona. So yeah, why the hell not? Can we not win that competition?
I don't normally do this, but I'll let you. Tom, which three signings in January? I just don't like it, but go on.
It's a horrible question because, you know, covering transfers every day, you know, you don't know who even is realistic anymore. João Félix is being talked about for 100 million. Mudrick's being talked about for 100 million. We're not going to spend 100 million on a player. I'd sign Tielemans and get that done because he's Premier League ready and he can make an immediate impact. I would sign... if you can get him, I'd sign Mudrick. But if you can't get him, I would go and get Ferran Torres from Barcelona, because a really versatile option up top. And a third signing, which I think you're really pushing for, to think we'll get three. But I suppose I would bring in a striker, I guess. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I would bring in Sofiane Amrabat. Is who I'd bring in, who's been playing for Morocco in midfield and done amazing. And he's been brilliant. 26, defensive midfielder. You know, Tielemans is the box-to-box Xhaka competitor. Amrabat, Yeah, if you're going to throw a third name at me, bring him in. And they're realistic, you know. Yeah. They're not, you know, Bellingham, I see in the chat box. I'd love him, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to happen.
Coming. No, he's not. Robert Stevens wants to know, can I have Tom, your top four in order? How are we going to finish?
City, Arsenal, blooming hell. City, Arsenal, Spurs, annoyingly, and Newcastle. I think they're going to do it, you know. I think they're going to do it.
It's going to be so mad when we go back. It's going to be like the beginning of the season, but it's not the beginning of the season.
How amazing that Chelsea, Liverpool and Man United all finishing outside the top four potentially this season. That's mad.
Another question from Carl. Can Eddie step in for Jesus or should we consider Martinelli up front?
I would start Eddie against West Ham. And I think that he proved at the end of last season, if you give him a run of games in the first team, surrounded by the first team players, he will score goals. So yeah, I would start Eddie. The club have committed to him. They've invested a lot of money in him. They're going to play him, and we should back him. So yeah, I'd start Eddie.
Brilliant. I can see more questions, but you've got to go, haven't you, Tom? So I'm gonna.
I don't yet. I can take a couple more. So I'm assuming I'm good.
Just have it on alert. There, we'll get you out as soon as you want. Bakery Lasagna says, Tom, saying don't judge on World Cup performances. I think he's playing Morocco one.
Yeah, he is. But Amrabat's been good for Fiorentina as well. So it isn't just that. I actually spent an hour today looking back over Y Scout clips of him because someone told me to go and look at him and he looks very good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the YouTube clip. It just gets you, doesn't it, sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Right, Tom. Actually, it's very remiss of me because you won two awards recently, didn't you?
We won the silver awards and then last year we won the bronze awards. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So what was it? Best club content?
Best club content creator in the Premier League. Yes.
Fabulous. Totally and utterly deserved. Yeah. Paul James says, I'd happily take second if we won the Europa League.
I don't blame him. I don't blame Paul, to be honest, for that. You know, I mean, a lot of people feel that way, you know. I think second, what an achievement, you know, thinking about where we were 2 years ago and now you're finishing above Liverpool, Chelsea, United, Spurs, Newcastle, you know, that's an amazing achievement. It's not enough to satisfy my appetite for Arsenal, but it's an amazing achievement.
Sorry if I say this wrong. Cancun Ree, I think the Magpies could go third. They are playing. They were. See, this is what we have to say now. They were playing very well, like Arsenal, because we don't know how everyone's going to come back and how it's all affected. They've never had a break like that. Mm. And Newman disagrees with you. There's a shock. Soz, but we're winning nothing with Eddie up front.
Well, for a whole season, I'd probably agree with him. But to cover Jesus for 2 to 3 months, I think, you know, I look at the games we've got and I think that we can still pick up plenty of points with him there. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about a player that's coming in to replace someone that is a brilliant performer, brings so much to the team, but also hasn't scored in 12 games. You know, if Eddie scores against West Ham, he's done what Jesus hasn't in 12 games. So, you know, think of it that way. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
We are. Okay, Tom, thanks so much.
Oh, no more. That's fine. I can take one more.
I can't see any question because Carl's asking about your player of the season, but it's going to be Ben White, isn't it? That's what I'm assuming. Oh, okay.
He has been great, but I think Granit Xhaka has to be my player of the season. I think he's been unreal. Yeah, Xhaka.
I just love him. I mean, what a turner. I mean, if you wrote a film about his life with Arsenal, it would be... When he threw the shirt on the ground and all the toxicness and the disgusting abuse he got, and then to turn it around now to your favourite player and so many others as well, it would be one of those films you'd go, it's a bit far-fetched. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's a little bit far-fetched, but it's so true. Absolutely. Right. I don't know what he means. Bringing Amrabat to Arsenal, AFCON, Partey, Elneny and Amrabat, then we have no one midfield. I see what he means. Yeah. When the AFCON goes? When is the AFCON?
I mean, it's only just been. I don't know when the next African Cup of Nations is. But I reckon, you know, Charlie Patino's coming through. By the next AFCON, I think he's going to be part of things. So you'd have Xhaka, you'd have Patino, you'd still have Vieira here, you'd have Odegaard here, you'd have potentially another signing if we bring in Tielemans, you know. So, yeah, I think we'll be fine for 3 weeks.
No. Well, I'm excited. I want to say a big thank you, Tom, for coming on. I'm so pleased that we managed to do this, because you are a very busy man. You are always, always welcome back. And I'm going to get you back on at the end of the season to see where, if your second prediction comes correct and true. Thank you, everyone in the chat room, for coming and joining me and Tom for what Arsenal means to me. We can see what it means to him. He's now working in it, dealing with it, trying to keep his wife happy and getting up at 7:30 in the morning to do his 8 o'clock show. Tom, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at The Gooner Talk TV on Twitter, or just type in The Gooner Talk on YouTube. It will come up. But thanks for having me, Amanda. I really appreciate it. And yeah, show's going really well. So I hope you're enjoying it.
Thank you. Yes, I still don't like hosting. I'm still nervous. But can you believe it? I've done these shows with Craig. January the 9th is my 1 year anniversary.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Twice. I know. Absolutely brilliant. I've just got to put this up because I think I have to.
João Felix.
Thank you. He's on Arsenal's radar. Thoughts, just quickly, go on, Tom.
I don't think Arsenal are going to pay 100 million for him, is my thoughts, but I would have him.
100 million?
Yeah.
Sorry, who is he?
Atletico Madrid and Portugal forwards, João Felix. He's at the World Cup. He was at the World Cup before they got eliminated. Yeah.
Okay.
He's an exciting player.
Thank you, Sheets of Metal, for your donation. Right, Tom, I'm going to say goodnight to you. Everyone in the chat room, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday night. It's been lovely. I will be back here 8 o'clock Wednesday night with two fantastic guests again. I'm so lucky to have all these people in my life. Take care in the snow, because it looks like the southeast is covered. Be well, everyone. And remember, always Arsenal. Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.